Welcome back to WTK's Playground here this morning on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket. Jeffrey Childs in the air chair this morning. Tony O across me to my right. Jay-Z on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. And we are breaking down, or perhaps guiding you through, finding another way to say that. There's nothing really to break down. Michigan 78-0. Whitewashing of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. And Tony, I think this puts an end to any rivalry talk from Rutgers.
Yeah, this was not very much of a competition. This was pretty one-sided.
Yeah, and Michigan, some people say, look at the score, and they'd say, oh, you know, the Wolverines ran up the score. I mean, let's be clear here. Michigan had not only their second string in, but the third, fourth, and maybe fifth string. I mean, and that's the thing about football, and Jim Harbaugh will say this, you know, we're going to just line up and play, and we're going to play the entire game. And if you can't handle it when I put my backups in, that's on you, because this is football. This is a man's game. Like, you have to come to play, and if you're not, and too bad, so sorry.
And, I mean, the other thing about that is all Michigan was doing in basically the entire third and fourth quarter was just lining up and running the ball. They weren't passing it. They weren't doing, you know, intricate trick plays. It was just, and Rutgers knew it. Rutgers knew, all right, they're going to line up. It's going to be I formation, and they're just going to run it, run the ball, and we got to try and stop it, and they just couldn't.
Yeah, yeah. Michigan, Harbaugh will run that two tight end fullback offense. Nothing really flashy. And Jay-Z and I sort of talked about this last night, that the entire playbook is far from being opened up this season. I mean, Michigan has not had to do that. I mean, the only close game really has been the Wisconsin game, where that was a defensive slugfest. But Michigan, I think, and Jim Harbaugh and Tim Drevno still have a lot in their bags of tricks to unveil. If Michigan plays a game opponent and they're going to challenge the Wolverines, Michigan will show more. But if you just go down the list, Tony, and if you look at how Michigan just lined up and ran it right at Rutgers, you know, there's so much to like about this game, and so much historically that I don't think we might ever see again. The 78-point margin of victory, largest in Big Ten history. Michigan surpassing their average of 444 yards of offense. They finished with 600 yards of offense. Third time in six games they've surpassed 500 yards of total offense. Michigan 8 of 8 in the red zone, and Rutgers, obviously, they didn't even get a red zone opportunity. They didn't even cross the 50. Rutgers 0 of 17 on third down, which just props up Michigan's third down percentage, leading the country even more. 9 touchdowns on the ground. Michigan's second largest margin of victory since 1920. I mean, you can go on and on. Like the you know, Dave Abloff and Chad Shepard in Michigan's media relations department had to be working overtime to find some of these notes. I mean, it's just very, very impressive what the Wolverines are willing to do. And any stat that you, any historical chart-topping number that you just, that made you say, wow?
I mean, just the fact that so many, I mean, the fact that you can accumulate so many in one game, I think says a lot. I mean, this was truly a blowout of historic proportions that, like you said, we might not ever see a game like this again in our lifetime.
No, definitely not. And I watched this game, and you could say that this was like Michigan playing an FCS opponent, but that would be fair to an FCS opponent. Like, Michigan playing Rutgers in this game was so incredibly, it was just such a crushing victory that it was like Michigan playing a JV team. Like Rutgers should not be on the field. And I've said it before, and after this performance, I will stand by this. Rutgers should either leave the Big Ten after this level of embarrassment, or they should just quit playing football entirely.
Yeah, I mean, like, one of the things I was thinking, so the announcer said yesterday that there were 200 Rutgers recruits on hand to watch the game, and I can't imagine what, if you're the Rutgers staff, and you're trying to show these players a good time, and you're trying to show how, you know, Rutgers is the right place for them, what do you possibly say to these young kids after a game like this to try and tell them that this is where their future is brightest? That's got to be tough.
That has got to be difficult for Chris Ash and that Rutgers coaching staff. This was like their game, right? Their red letter game. They circled it on the calendar. We're playing Michigan. We've already beaten them once in a row at home. We're going for number 2. Like, come witness this.
Right.
And Boy, they witnessed something. It wasn't anything good from Rutgers, but Michigan actually had a lot of targets in this game that were there for them. Isaiah Wilson, the offensive tackle from Brooklyn, New York, I think, and we could talk to Isaiah Hole about this from 247. He'll be joining us in just a bit. But I remember hearing that he would be at this game and to take in a Michigan Rutgers game since he couldn't make it to a home game in Ann Arbor. And he had to be very, very impressed and looking forward to, you know, maybe down the road committing and being a part of that rushing attack that racked up 481 yards. Just astonishing, astonishing performance by Michigan. 78-0 as they roll over Rutgers and roll into the bye week 6-0. Well, now it's time to bring on our media guest this morning on WTK's Playground here on Sports Talk 1050. We're going to talk to Isaiah Hole from 247 Sports. Isaiah, thank you for joining us this morning from a very tired evening for you in Piscataway.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here, Jeff.
Well, Tony and I have been breaking down a little bit, and again, breakdown was probably a fair term because what Michigan did was like they disemboweled the Knights. Rutgers was essentially drawn and quartered in this game. Looking past just the score, what were some of your, I guess, positive takeaways? Like, where are some things, some reasons in this game where you can look at it and maybe the player participation, the fresh, maybe some other things that will bode well for Michigan down the road?
Well, there's a couple things that I thought that really stood out. Obviously, you mentioned the very lofty number as far as the run game, the rushing yards that Michigan put up. The offensive line did such a great job yesterday, and what people don't realize is that Rutgers has a Chris Wormley type on their team in a Julian Odric Penix, and he was completely neutralized by this offensive line. That guy's a beast, and he just got completely nothing happened with him. So Rutgers also has a great secondary. They had the 32nd best secondary going into the game, and while they did a good job, obviously, I mean, it's hard to say like, oh, their secondary didn't do a great job considering that it was a run game pretty much all the way through. But you know, Michigan was able to take some of those chances downfield once the rain stopped. I don't know if it really caught on TV how the rain really was affecting the game early on, but that really made it difficult for the passers to really get the ball out and the receivers to, you know, actually latch on to it. But just such a great job by, you know, the Michigan receivers to take advantage of Hester and Siofo as well, who are, you know, really, really good cornerbacks. But the freshman, one of the things that Coach Harbaugh said after the game that he really liked was that the twos came in and played with the same intensity as the ones. And speaking with some of the people on the sideline during the game, that, well, we were all kind of eyeing that zero first downs number in the second half. The question was, when are they going to get a first down? Are they going to, you know, are they going to be able to move the ball once you start seeing the second and third rotations come in the game? And the answer was no. So it just shows how impressive this unit is from top to bottom.
Yeah, we're talking to Isaiah Hole this morning on WTK's Playground here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. The ticket, I'd like to thank him for joining us. You can read all of his great work on 247sports.com and on the Michigan section there, and you can follow him at Isaiah Hole. That's Isaiah Hole. Isaiah, you watched Michigan football a very long time. I have as well. Where does this performance rank in games that you've witnessed?
Obviously, as far as a huge margin of victory, it's number one. We obviously haven't seen anything like this in our lifetime. I remember back, and I'm going to deviate a little bit from Michigan, but I remember back in, I think it was 2004, when Oklahoma beat Texas A&M 77-0, and I remember thinking that was going to be the biggest blowout that you would see in our lifetimes. And this game, it was just such a drubbing. I have never seen a domination to this level. I mean, it was like you were saying on the lead-in, this was worse than playing an FCS team. And Coach Harbaugh was saying after the game how Chris Ash really, you know, he does have this team, you know, where he wants it as far as starting the rebuild job. But I don't know, man. It's hard to rebuild when you get absolutely destroyed like this. And Rutgers is coming off a 58-0 loss to Ohio State last week as well. So this was a pretty imminent victory as well for Michigan. It was something to behold, and it just was like Rutgers could not stop it, because in the second half, Michigan just kept running the ball, and they just couldn't do anything about it.
Isaiah Hull, as both of us are here in the studio, just running out of superlatives to describe this game. It almost goes without saying and can almost render you speechless. We're running out of adjectives to describe it. But Isaiah, yes, it was complete domination by Michigan. And you talked a little bit about Harbaugh sort of doing the cordial thing where a coach will compliment a team in the nicest way possible after a beatdown like that. And if Chris Ash is building anything in Rutgers, they might have to scrap the plans and start over and build over again after that one. It's got to be very tough for Rutgers to come back from something like this emotionally.
Yeah, I can't imagine how they do. Now, their schedule gets a lot easier the second half of the season. They just kind of got through their tougher, you know, stretch, because, you know, going up against Michigan and Ohio State in back-to-back weeks is not something that you want to do. To your note earlier, I'm kind of surprised as well that they held their big recruiting weekend at this game, because it just doesn't seem like this is a game you want a bunch of recruits to see. And I know they wanted to try to have their strike the birthplace thing that they had going, but that didn't even really work very well. Maybe it looks better on TV, but there was so much maize and blue in the stands. It was kind of hard to I think pull something like that off. You could hear people singing the victors, and there was a very audible go blue chant back and forth between sections, and it was just as audible as anything that the home team fans were doing. So yeah, it's a pretty daunting challenge for Chris Ash. Now, I don't have any doubt that he is a good coach. He did a great job under Urban Meyer as a defensive coordinator, but as you're seeing right now with Ohio State, they continue to keep rolling without Ash. So you wonder to a degree how much of that is Ash's actual ability as a head coach, or how much of that defense last year for Ohio State was just all Urban Meyer. And he certainly did not have his defense particularly ready to play Michigan, and considering that they weren't able to stop a lot of Michigan's base plays, that makes you wonder at what point is Ash going to start already being on the hot seat in year one, because that's pretty inexcusable loss.
When the opposing band, when the Rutgers band is playing the victors because they've essentially waved the white flag, Isaiah, I think that tells us everything we need to know about the just domination by Michigan of Rutgers 78-0. And a beat writer here with us this morning on WTK's Playground, Isaiah Hull. Isaiah, I know you work with a lot of fine folks at 247 that cover recruiting. Wanted to ask this question of you, if you might be able to fill us in. If not, that's okay too. We know that Rutgers had over, I think, 200 recruits at this game, but a lot of those guys, I think, went to see Michigan and witnessed Michigan in person. One of those guys, a tackle from Brooklyn, New York, Isaiah Wilson, I believe I read earlier in the week that he said he'd be at that game. Did you hear anything from him or any pertinent recruiting news or quotes from this outcome?
I haven't heard yet. That could just be me not having my ear to the ground quite yet this morning. I did see they did bring in a pretty large group of recruits, and that did include also they had a Artur Sitkowski, who is one of he was one of Michigan's quarterback guys they were looking at for 2018. But I didn't get a chance to get a read on Isaiah Wilson to see how he reacted. I do know that there are several other recruits that weren't in it that were definitely taking notice. USC commit Brett Nealon tweeted out yesterday about how Michigan dominated, and he's a 2017 center that committed to USC. Shannon Reed, who's a linebacker out of Florida, he came and visited Michigan last week for the Wisconsin game. He tweeted about how much he loves seeing a donut up there on the board. The number one prospect out of Florida, 2018 defensive end, Kayvon Thibodeau. He tweeted out about Michigan blowing out to Rutgers as well. Cesar Ruiz out of IMG Academy. He was also visited for Wisconsin last week. He had something to say about that as well. So there's a lot of people that were definitely taking notice of what Michigan was able to do. I'm not sure yet with the actual recruits that were here in Piscataway, but we'll have to take a look at that here shortly and see what they thought of getting to watch such a game.
A lot of Michigan recruits in attendance and Rutgers recruits that maybe became Michigan recruits after a 78-0 win by the Wolverines over Rutgers. We talked today with Isaiah Hole from 247 Sports. You can read all of his great work on 247 Wolverine and the 247 Network. You can follow Isaiah at Isaiah Hole, ISAIAH Hole. Isaiah, thank you so very much for joining us on the playground this morning.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, especially on a short rest for both of us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on, Isaiah. Well, that was Isaiah Hole, and again, we'd like to thank him for joining us on the playground this morning. We'll finish up here quickly, Tony, on scores in the Big Ten yesterday. Penn State rebounded and beat at the time an undefeated Maryland team 38-14, so the Nittany Lions back on track. Iowa continuing to struggle on the offensive side, but they do end up pulling it out over Minnesota 14-7. Purdue beating Illinois and maybe staying the time of Daryl Hazel and West Lafayette for the time being as the Boilers win 34-31. Michigan State just falling flat at home against Brigham Young. And yes, Brigham Young is a 3-3 team, but they had like three games, I think, that were
decided by like
the
like
margin
less than one score.
The margin
like
was there. Ohio State taking care of Indiana 38-17, and of course Michigan. And now Michigan 6-0 on the season. Ohio State 5-0. They seem again to be on a collision course in Columbus. For Jay-Z on the other side, for Tony O, my name is Jeff Childs. You've been listening to the Playground this morning on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.